All right, I'm going to share with you my message this morning, and I'm going to keep it kind of brief and move through it kind of fast because it's meant to be brief on this day. Some of you are smiling, thinking I'm not sure that's possible. So, we're going to give it a shot. Today I wanted us to kind of recast our vision and think about our mission statement. I could put you on the spot and ask you if you remember what it is, because everybody who's gone through membership orientation memorized it and has it, right? Or maybe even wrote it down and put it in their pocket. So our mission statement is that we are one church in multiple locations, gathering people so they may know Christ, go with Christ, and grow in Christ. And so I'm going to unpack that real quickly for us, and then we'll wrap up our service and go have lunch together. So, one church speaks to us of the idea of the church being gathered. It really carries with it the notion of wholeness, our unity, and strength. The book of Acts says in chapter 4 and verse 32, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." The word common refers back to that koinonia, that fellowship. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." One church. We are united by our faith in Jesus Christ. We are united by our devotion to the Word of God. We are united by our love for the one true and living God and by our love for one another. We are united by our commitment to one another, and we are united by our core values and our commitment to the mission of God. We're one church. You'll see that every idea in this mission statement is found in Scripture and is a biblical concept. Multiple locations speaks to the idea of being scattered. So one church, gathered. Multiple locations, scattered. Right? While one church refers to the wholeness, the unity, and the strength, it also refers to the church gathered. When we gather, we are in one space. We are together. When we scatter, we are in multiple places. This morning is an example of the church gathered. Connect groups is one example of the church scattered. The church scattered looks like this. Roberts, East Bench, Red Lodge, Highway 212, Highway 78, Golf Course, Downtown Bridger. That's what the church scattered looks like. Guess what? That's where we are almost every week. Almost every week. Multiple locations. Not only refers to us, you know, individually going out. When we go out, we do things intentionally. We have worship services in different places. Bible studies, common grounds, summertime celebrations, block parties. This scattered, this multiplication that we're talking about, these multiple locations, also work in this way. When we are with our friends, when we are with our families, when we are on the job, when we are at play, when we are at recreation, if you will. Because here's what the Bible says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world." As we go out, we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. Multiple locations refer to our scattering and our multiplying. Multiplying what? Multiplying disciples. Multiplying leaders. Multiplying Bible studies. And yes, multiplying churches. As a part of our DNA, we have desired from the beginning to be a church that starts other churches. And we've been blessed to be a part of those in different ways. We've had different church planters that have come through. Our most recent example is the Brunsons, who are over in Livingston planting a new church, and how God is blessing there. And so we will see more churches come from Church of the Rockies. Multiple locations. And then we move to the The third part, one church, multiple locations, gathering people. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved who? The world. Not the creation, but the people. That's who this verse is talking about. People are God's priority. Not buildings, not budgets, not programs, not organizations. People are God's priority. People are the object of God's love according to the Bible and His redemptive plan. Jesus died on the cross for lost people, not for buildings, not for programs, right? All of those help us to do some of the things that we need to do to accomplish His mission on the earth, but we are about people. We are in the people business. God is in the people business. And that's what it's really all about. Gathering people must be a priority as well. So we move forward consistently and methodically, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody, building relationships with each other, and building relationships with people whom we don't yet know, demonstrating love and kindness through acts of service, creating opportunities, which we've worked hard at, creating opportunities for gathering the community and building those relationships, because God loves those people, and we do too. One church, multiple locations, gathering people. Why? So they may know Christ. This speaks to our evangelistic effort. The Bible says in John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." We don't gather people for the sake of having a crowd. We gather people in church, and we gather people outside of the church so that we can introduce them to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, so that they can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. This is this part of our mission statement deals with what we know as evangelism, telling people what they need to hear in order to be saved. This is something that has to happen before anybody experiences the next two parts of the statement, which is going and growing. They must initially come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son, and there is no other way. I remember as a boy, my grandfather pulling me aside and saying to me, "Tell me what is the gospel?" And as a young boy, I had heard different things in church, and so I said, "The gospel is the good news." And he said, "What is the gospel?" And I said, "Well, I guess I got it wrong. What is the gospel?" And so I was kind of stuck on the good news part, and he said, "Yes, it's good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross to save us from our sins, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and raised from the dead 3 days later." I mean, you get good news all the time, right? So when we talk about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, we've got to qualify that. Good news, there's lunch waiting on us, right? we could qualify good news in a lot of different ways, but when we talk about the good news in church, we're talking specifically about the good news of Jesus Christ, and that's the part of our mission statement that is concerning knowing Him. Gathering people so that they may know Him. And the word in the original language is gnosko. It is an experiential knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge. It's not just knowing about Jesus or reading about Jesus. It's about experiencing His person and His presence in your life by faith, by trusting in the real person named Jesus, not a figment of our imagination, not just someone we read a story about, but experiencing Christ in our lives. Knowing Christ, going with Christ. This is our part of our mission statement that has to do with our faithfulness in following after Him. John 12 says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now, we intentionally put going before growing. I don't know if you've ever paid attention to that. Maybe I've mentioned it to you before. Gathering people so they may know Christ, go with Christ, and grow in Christ. Many churches might would look at it and say, we're going to grow in Christ, and then we're going to go in Christ. But you know what happens? Churches fill up with people who sit in their chairs and in their pews, waiting until they've grown to a certain point to ever go. And guess what? Some reason they've gotten to be 80, 90 years old and they've never gone. I'm still growing. I got a lot of growing to do before I go. No. You start following Jesus right away. You start, and by the way, we believe that going is a part of the growing. Right? In fact, let me tell you what Jesus said about that. In Matthew 4:19, He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So when does the transformation take place? Right, so we've got to follow Him so He can make us. You see that? We've got to go so we can grow. That's what's happening in that verse. As we go, He makes us something we're not, which is a fisher of men. It's only as the disciples follow Jesus that He makes them into something they are not. And it's only by following and obeying Jesus that we experience life transformation. You do not have to be a scholar, and you do not have to be a theologian to obey Jesus and be a witness for Him. In fact, what is a witness? What is a witness? If you're a witness, you are telling somebody about something you've seen or heard or you have witnessed, right? So if you've experienced Jesus, then you should witness about it. You're a witness. If you've not experienced Jesus, then you have nothing to testify about. But the moment you experience Christ, you become a witness. You may say, well, I'm just not good at talking and I don't really know what to say. All you need to say to begin with is what happened to you. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Right? I was here, I met Jesus, and now I'm here. I'm not where I want to be, right? You've heard me say before, I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Right? We're moving on. God is moving us forward in the faith. Now, the last part is growing. Growing in Christ has to do with our spiritual formation. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And here's what I want you to know about this. The Spirit of God, working through the Word of God, transforms us into the people of God. And we need to have both working actively in our lives. We are to continue growing in our knowledge and understanding of God. All of us, not all of you, you get that? All of us should continue to grow spiritually. Paul himself said, "I have not yet attained." Now, when we begin to understand who God is and we grow in our knowledge of God, it causes us to fear Him. Yes, it does. If you're not experiencing godly fear in your life, you're not reading about the same God that's in the Bible. So our greatest emotion towards God should be that of fear and reverence. What does that lead to? It leads to love and adoration. Not in the sense that He's going to strike you down, but in understanding how great our God is and how wonderful He is. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm not making this stuff up. The Bible talks about the fear of God much. And the truth is, that's one of the things that's missing in our churches today. Why? Because it's just supposed to be a happy-go-lucky time all the time, right? But this idea of fear and reverence is oftentimes absent. But when we get to know God, we will fear Him greatly and we will love Him passionately. We never stop growing spiritually. This part of the mission has to do with growing in Christ, and it involves opportunities for a steady diet of God's Word, but also by helping us become self-feeders, learning how to handle the Word of God ourselves in our homes, and being able to read and pray and get closer to God and know God throughout the week. That's our mission statement. Maybe you've never heard it completely unpacked that way. There's a lot more that could be said. Each one of those is actually its own sermon, and it makes a good sermon series.